Good evening, Basil. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for joining us. You're described as an expert on terrorism, but there are many facets to your life. You've spoken to the UN General Assembly. You've addressed the European Parliament. And we're delighted to have you now on the line from Israel. May I ask you something briefly about your history, Arnold? You're born in Australia. Your wife is originally from New York, but you now live in Israel. And you had seven children. May I just ask you briefly to tell us about your daughter, Chaya?
Chaya is the youngest of our children. Yes. She's now almost 19.
Yes.
And she's the victim of very ill fortune, which began when she was a year old. And she went through a medical accident as a result of which she's blind and has profound developmental problems and lives with us at home.
And so you've obviously, like so many, I mean, I'm a specialist in special needs, like so many people in that position, you had to become experts in that, I suspect, did you, very quickly?
Boy, you put your finger right on the issue. Did you say we have 2.5 hours? Because I'm not sure we'll have enough to cover all the issues.
In any event, you had, among your other children, you had a wonderful daughter, Malki. She was the fourth of your seven children, and she, in particular, helped care for Chaya when they were young, did she not?
You're exactly right, and this began at a very young age. She was 9 when her youngest sister was born. Malki was the youngest of the children that we brought with us from Australia. She
yes.
came after after 3 boys, so she was the fourth of our children. And then 3 more daughters were born to us here. So Malki ended up being the middle child, or as she used to call herself, the meat in the sandwich. We now know, with hindsight, that really she was the glue that held the family in a very meaningful way together. She loved her youngest sister, just in ways that I can't really do justice to in a phone call, but she really got so much out of a relationship in which her sister couldn't speak, can't communicate in any way, and was very ill in the early years. She was very ill. We were in hospital a great deal of the time. And Malki, who was then 9 and 10 and 11 during that period, would spend enormous amounts of time looking after her younger sister and being there with my wife, who very often was there in the hospital. I would be there overnight, and my wife would be there mostly in the daytimes.
And not only was she caring, but she was talented. I understand she was a flautist, she was a youth leader, and had a wonderful future before her. But there was a particular tragedy that affected many in Israel. Just tell us briefly about that, if you would, Arnold Roth, please, speaking from Israel to Jewish Hour here.
Yes, on the 9th of August 2001, in the school holidays during the summer, Malki and her best friend were standing at the counter of a restaurant in the center of Jerusalem, the Sabaro Pita Shop, when a young man walked in with what looked like a guitar case on his back and exploded. The two girls were killed. 13 other people, most of them children, were killed. A 16th person has been unconscious from that day until today, and 130 people were very seriously injured, both inside the restaurant and out on the street. And that represented a real turn in our lives. I'd have to say that it represented the end of the first part of our lives.
I think that's a very good way of putting it. And I'm going to ask you straight out, Arnold Roth, how you feel now when you're telling me, I mean, you're speaking over the airwaves and I can't see you, but how do you feel when you're recounting this story now? You know what we're going to go on to talk about, but there must be an element of grief, an element of anger?
Yes, of course. I don't have any problems owning up to the reality that there's anger, because I know precisely not only who murdered her and the other people there that day, but also what became of them afterwards and why they did it. And being as close to the issue, naturally, as I am, by being the father of one of the victims and a person who's had to deal with the aftermath together with the rest of my family, it's impossible for me to separate myself from the unspeakable, hideous evil that was embodied by the people who carried out that attack. I'd be surprised if there were many people listening right now who knew that the woman who engineered that massacre at the Sabaro restaurant that day,
yes.
15 killed, 130 injured, was actually the newsreader on Palestinian Authority television that night. So she brought the human bomb to the site in Jerusalem. She left him there with detailed instructions. She then fled and turned up in Ramallah in time to read the news, which, of course, kicked off with a report from occupied Jerusalem, where a massacre was inflicted on the Zionists that day. So you could even focus only on that issue and start, I think, to become really quite agitated, unless you had remarkable powers of distance. But it goes a lot further than that. She's now a free person. She's married. I believe she now probably has her first child. She's a media personality. She has a stage for her views, her hideous, hate-filled views, that stretches throughout the world. I doubt whether there's been a murderer in the history of mankind who's had quite that extraordinary story to tell.
You channeled your anger and grief, though, in a particular way, Arnold Roth, didn't you? You and your wife, you set up a foundation. Would you tell us about that? It's called Keren Malki, which literally means Malki's foundation, I think, doesn't it?
Precisely right. So we actually sat together during the 7 days of mourning, the Shiva, and decided there as a family that we were going to do something that captured the spirit of Malki and would provide us with a way to require people to remember her, to know about her, not to allow her to simply turn into one of the statistics in this terrible ongoing war. And we got on with the task pretty quickly. I have to tell you that in my private life, for most of my years of working, I've worked as a lawyer. I don't do it today because I'm channeled off into other areas, but at the time, I had a colleague who very quickly took care of incorporating the not-for-profit, and the papers came out on the morning of the day on which we were going to have a memorial service for Malki and her best friend, who was yes. killed with her. And that day happens to have been the 11th of September 2001. When we were handed the papers, there was no reason to think of that as an especially significant day, but as the day wore on and from 2 o'clock onwards, Israel time, we were aware that that was, in fact, and always would be, a very special day.
You set up the Keren Malki, but you've also got another aspect, another facet of your life, which is talking. For example, you're attending in Madrid, I think it is, the European commemoration of 10 years since the atrocity at Atocha railway station. So you're travelling the world talking about terrorism, the effects of terrorism, and hopefully how to prevent it, Arnold Roth.
It's true, and you can learn some extraordinary things when you come into contact with people who have had to go through the same kind of experience as I have, against different cultural and political and religious backgrounds. What's extraordinary is that we have so much in common, notwithstanding the differences. And going off to Madrid, it coincides with the 10th anniversary, but in fact it's a sincere, I think, attempt by the European Commission to have the voices of terror victims heard in a very special way. We're not there because we're united by political viewpoints or we pray the same way. Obviously, it's none of those issues, but I'm telling you, as someone who's had a lot of conversations with people like this, that we have some extraordinary things that we share. It's even extraordinary to us ourselves. So, yes, that is one of many opportunities I've had the privilege of being part of. Not all of them, I have to say, pleasant, but all of them really quite momentous. Terrorism, by and large, is an issue that's not understood, not by politicians and not by members of the public, anywhere near to the extent to which it ought to be, given the enormous gravity and influence that it has over our lives and the influence that it's going to have, because we're not winning. We can expect a lot worse before it gets better.
Ironically, do you share the view of so many people that the security fence in Israel has been a boon in terms of preventing the sort of attack which murdered your daughter?
I'm not open to the view that that's an opinion. It's simply objectively the case that the security barrier has saved an unknown number of lives. There's so much nonsense that's being said about the security barrier and attempts to portray it as an apartheid wall and the like. Don't bring no credit to the people who put those views forward. I was particularly upset to see the way in which this was all handled in London over Christmas. You may be aware of the church in Piccadilly that turned this into really a disgraceful abuse of the power of the people who set that up. Yes, the security barrier has saved a lot of lives. Sadly, we need to take measures that aren't particularly attractive and that aren't all that conducive to living in close proximity to one another and singing at the campfire at night, because the reality is that there are some very evil people out there and they're not being checked. In fact, they're running rampant right now. May I simply mention the website where all the details can be found?
I'm about to ask you to do that, yeah.
Thank you. Malki Foundation, that's one word, where the first part of it is M-A-L-K-I foundation.org.uk. And I hope people will click and have a look at the video and get some sense of the message. Malki is a life that I wish people would know.
Arnold Roth, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much, Pat.